It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
So this is why I don't post pictures on Twitter.
Why?
Always nice enough to bring in a bunch of new gear. We've got the Grit Grinder Inc. gear on today.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got the sweatshirt on. It's a thing of beauty. The hat is awesome.
Yeah, the hat is awesome.
Two different styles of hats.
Your hat. I had to get those ones for you two because I know you don't wear these ones.
Well, I don't do
the flat brim. Doesn't work for me. I look like I'm...
Doesn't work for me either.
Well, why are you wearing it then?
I like it. I just like it better.
Weren't you wearing a flat hat, flat brim hat the other day, like the Torrance one? Taggart and Torrance
Yeah.
one? That's a... Like, I got one of those.
But I get texts from you saying I look like I drive a Honda Civic.
Well, I can't wear it either. Like, I can't. I would look ridiculous with a flat brim hat on.
Yeah, I can't pull it off. I don't even attempt to pull
it
off.
But I love the curved hat.
Yeah.
I've got one right here, too. I'm on TV tonight, so I can't mess with my awful Lego hair.
You got to make sure the hair is on point.
I'm on TV at 7. I don't care.
Well, it's for a great cause, and we're going to tell you about this throughout the day. But I figured, you know what? I've got the new hat on. I'll post a pic just like, hey, I'm rocking the new hat.
Did you get abused?
Well, people are like, why don't you smile? Like, what's your problem? Like, what am I supposed to do? Put on a big goofy smile? It's about the hat. Like,
that's it.
Yeah, it's not about the emotion or lack of emotion.
You're not.
And we're all generally, like, we have happy lives, we're happy people, but we don't walk around 24/7 with a you-know-what eating grin on our face, right?
You're also, Hayes, you're not selfie boy. Like, you are not
Prime Minister. You're right. I rarely take a selfie.
Yeah, like, you're not the guy, you know, out there looking for attention and stuff. Like, that's, I'm telling you, you... I rarely see you in pictures and stuff. That's just not your game. That's
not my MO.
No, yeah, which is
I'm
fine.
I'm an international man of mystery, exactly. A radio man of mystery.
Yes.
So I love radio. And I guess that face, you know what face that could have been?
What?
The Chris Russell face. That could have been the Chris Russell face I was putting on for Twitter.
I was sick to my stomach for him.
They got to put some Jobu rum in front of that net because last year Patrick Laine ripped one home in that net. The same one?
Was that the same net or was it the other end?
I thought it was the other end.
Oh, either way, it's, yeah, there's some sort of Jobu thing happening there. That was, I don't know how you felt, oh. I mean, anybody, and Brian, you can speak to this as well. If you've played any team sport at any level, I had a sick, like, didn't matter the score or whatever, even the time of the game, I had a sick feeling for him. Just because... We've all had embarrassing moments playing sports and that, but this one was just on a bigger stage. And there was not a guy in that building, and I would argue a Leaf even, that didn't feel for him when the dust settled. And was like, they're probably sitting on the bus last night going, like, man.
I think it's important that you said when the dust settled.
Yeah.
I think when you're on the ice, you're like, awesome, we won the game. That's great. I don't care how it went in.
I've got, you know what? I think I've told this story, but I'll tell it very quick. When I was playing junior for the Spokane Chiefs, we were playing the Seattle Thunderbirds. And I'll never forget this. We had a defenseman named Scott Farrell. The puck got thrown from behind the net. He was a defenseman standing in front of the net. And he went to shoot it behind, like try and shoot it around. And he buried a one-timer in the net. Wide open net.
Our buddy
on our own
face.
Net. Did it. A guy on Seattle named Corey Beaulieu. Skated by from the other team to give him a high five. Can you imagine?
Like, well, Nas did that last night, and he was laughing and was like, what the hell is that guy doing? Then after the game, he's like, I feel really bad about that.
Yeah.
They deserve better. They deserved a point. Really, he just laughed in the guy's face.
Well, he did immediately say after the game, because Masters caught up with him, and he pleaded ignorance on what happened. He's like, I have no idea. He knew he didn't score.
No, he knew.
There were two guys that were going to score in that moment. One of them was him. He knew he didn't score. So he knows Chris Russell scored on his own net.
But that...
He knew it.
He was laughing at him on the ice, and it's like...
That deserves a punch in the face.
Yeah, but sometimes you're like... There's a difference between laughing with your teammates saying, guys, we just scored with a minute left, but we didn't even have to score. And then there's, you donkey, what are you, I don't know.
But either way, that when that Corey Beaulieu skated by and went to give my teammate a high five, we had a line brawl after that.
Well, it's a must like line brawl situation.
It was, because the guy was so embarrassed, like he didn't know what to do. He just dropped his gloves and all hell broke loose. But that was junior hockey 50 years ago, not...
I do think that's the difference between junior and the pros.
Yeah.
As unique of a situation as that is, kids would act like idiots more than adults.
Yeah.
Well, and there are some kids playing in the league. I mean, let's be honest. Matthews is only 20, Mars only 20. But I think in the NHL you realize, I'm not going to do that, because if I'm lucky enough to play 500 games, let alone 750, 1,000, 1,250, there's a chance I'm going to do something at some point in my career that I'm going to be embarrassed about. But that was a really fun game to watch, thoroughly entertaining. And we're going to talk a lot about the Leafs side of things and the amount of fans that were there and what to anticipate tomorrow in Vancouver. But for me, that is the kind of goal that might just end it. End it for the Oilers. Like, they had stormed back after
one
a horrible
thing or the
first.
Other. End it, or they just say, it can't get worse than this, let's go on a run. Or it's like, this is just not meant to be.
Yeah, Brian and I were talking off air, and it's true. It could be one of those things where it's just like, it's not our season. Like, just starting goalies out, we've had adversity, we've been brutal. Like, it could be just one of those things. Or, you know, you make a good point. Maybe it's like, these guys are like, to hell with this. We've got our backup playing. Backup settled down. Although my brother texts me today, and he's like, should Brossoit have had that goal?
Chris
Russell goal. I'm like, well, it went five hole, but
you do have to be prepared. Kadri's, it's a 50-50 battle.
It surprised the hell out of him and everyone in the building, but I mean, the kid actually played all right. Like,
it's one of those situations where you're like, oh, he battled back, good for him, but he gave up five. You gave up five.
And I didn't love the Matthews goal was brilliant. The Moore goal was bad. Couldn't really blame him on the other ones. And the Nylander short side shelf, that was a laser.
Anyway, in terms of what we were saying about the Oilers, you're right. There's a potential fork in the road where they take this and say, okay, we're rock bottom now, let's only move up. Or it's so demoralizing and just such a defeatist attitude after a moment like that. And I lean towards that side of things, because there's only so many moral defeats any team can have.
Right.
And that's what happens when high expectations begin to burst. It's, well, yeah, they lost, but man, you know, if they got a point and they lost in overtime, very different atmosphere, very different mentality. They lost in regulation because a guy shot it in his own net.
Crazy.
After you battle back, they had one of the worst first periods I've ever seen a team play. They were absolutely
it was a joke
in the first period of the Oilers. And
I
they
tried
battled
to illustrate
back.
It, and it was like I could have had 10 more clips of just giveaways and
there were two different teams out there in two different leagues almost. Toronto looked sharp. Edmonton looked like they were just standing around chasing the game and they didn't want the puck. And then all of a sudden in the second period it was almost like
I don't know, flipped.
If Todd went in and kicked the garbage can or something, but your thought process, maybe they were like, to hell with this, we're down, like let's chase this game and see what happens.
I think that's probably what happened, and to their credit, I thought Edmonton, they were clearly the better team in the second, and I think they were pushing pretty hard in the third. I thought they played pretty well. They looked like the heavy team Chiarelli was hoping to build.
It was, you know what it was? It was an overtime game that we missed out on. I was telling Brian, with a minute left, I just got up off my couch and I was watching it. I was going to grab a bowl of cereal. And I saw it go in, and I was like, he just shot that in the net. And then Ray's reaction, because Gord thought Kadri did it, and Ray's like, no, that's Russell. And in it was one of those moments where I thought we're going to overtime, and I couldn't wait to see what McDavid versus Matthews in overtime, 3-on-3, was going to look like. Nylander was flying last night.
There was a part of you that did feel like you got ripped off.
This was going to be an unreal 3-on-3, and you knew it wasn't going to go to a shootout. Like, I kept thinking.
Yeah, we're all prepping for, like, okay, game-winning goal. We might have to do it in the Sports Center chat. And
yeah, like that.
Who was good? And then all of a sudden, it's like, what? That's in the net? It's over? It was a quick
transition. I couldn't believe it. And then I love Kadri sneaks one in with 1 second.
I know.
To keep the pace for 30 plus goals. Just sneaks one in with 1 second on an empty net. Yeah. I was thinking about our Jerry's from Wednesday. I'm like, this guy, he's going to get there if he's got a
score. I'm surprised you didn't get credit for that.
For the
Russell goal, because he was generally they give it to the guy closest to the guy that does it.
But he didn't touch the puck. He was underneath the stick. But
I know,
Russell,
but Jamie,
just,
a lot of times when a guy just shoots in his own net, the guy that's closest to the puck gets the goal.
Yeah, but Marlow got credit, right? Because Marlow had the initial shot.
Originally, I think,
shot.
Gave it to Kadri, and then they changed it to Marlow.
Yeah, because Kadri, and even Ray was right, because Kadri was the cause of the goal, because he was the one in the 50-50 battle. But it was just clearly Russell that just buried it. And I feel for the guy. You know, I know I saw your tweet. Twitter will let him off the hook and that.
He's such a polarizing analytical player. I mean, the analytics community compared to the old school.
Yeah, but if an analytics guy thinks that they're right because of that, they're an idiot.
But that's not the point. It's something that the best game, by all accounts, he's played in a long time.
Yeah.
And there's one thing you really can focus on.
Oh, for sure.
Like, we were talking about this earlier, and I'd love for someone to look this up. I find it hard to believe it's happened, where in the history of the game, someone has scored 2 goals on both nets in the same period. Like, I don't think that's ever happened. How does a guy score on both nets in the same period?
No, it's never happened.
I can't imagine it's ever happened.
The goal that Laine scored last year, did he score in that game? I mean, we can go back and look. I was telling you, from the old Rock'em Sock'em, there's one where Gord Dineen off the draw buries one short side on Billy Smith, on his own goalie. And Don Cherry's yelling, you should have had it, Billy, short side. He went to ring it around the net. But I don't know if Gord scored that night.
But it's not even about that night. It's the same period.
Yeah, and it just
both
it was,
nets I you just, scored
I felt,
on.
I was sick to my stomach night. Just for the athlete, not for anything else, because
well, it was a big 2 points for the Leafs. I mean, now they've picked up 4 of 4 on the road here. They're rolling into Vancouver tomorrow. Vancouver won again last night. We'll get to that momentarily, but we got to play this audio of Ray of the call, because Gord immediately called a Kadri goal.
Yeah.
And Ray's call on this is outstanding. Like, it's so good because it's so immediate. And he makes the comment about both nets featuring into Chris Russell's third period.
This is unbelievable. Chris Russell shoots this into his own net. Watch Russell spin to clear the puck, and he drills it through the legs of Brossoit. Oh, my goodness. He's got 2 goals in the period, 1 at each net.
So good.
Oh, my goodness. Like, that's almost the
Shapovalov.
The Shapovalov, like, in the eye. We should probably see if Mulls can clip both of them to see if they're close.
And even, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And then
we needed Gord to follow up with his own, oh, my goodness.
And Sam Rosen.
Oh, my goodness.
It's There's always 3 the same.
Oh, my goodness. We've got 3 oh, my goodness.
Well, that's because they can't say holy bleep.
I understand that, but I didn't remember Rosen saying, oh, my goodness. I thought it was, oh, my God.
Can we put all 3 in a row?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize
there
were
a lot of badness right there.
And think about how different all 3 are. Chris Russell scores on his own net. Shapovalov almost kills a guy. And Medano gets dropped on a gurney.
Right.
3 completely different scenarios.
Which is the worst one?
I think it's Medano.
I think it's Medano also, because he had nothing to do with
it. He's in distress.
He's like, in the care of people that are supposed to get him in that ambulance.
He's in so much distress because he's been knocked out by, was it Messier?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Messier hit him with the
elbow
drop.
Do you have the full Medano?
Yeah, like that is.
We'll hit that later this afternoon. We will play some Sam Rosen. There's a lot of Leaf fans, and I noticed this last night, that they are not sympathizing for Chris Russell, and it has nothing to do with him. It's that Oilers fans are so cheeky on Twitter. Like, Oilers fans hate the Leafs. Hate them.
They hate Toronto. Everyone in the West hates Toronto. They
well,
call
figure it out.
They call
act like that.
TSN the
like,
Toronto Sports Network.
They do.
That's what they call it.
Right.
But it's every organization. Like, Vancouver fans don't like the Leafs. They don't like the Oilers. They don't. Flames fans don't like each other. That's the
beauty.
Well,
you know when they really start not liking Toronto? Is when a guy shoots it in his own net and the team sucks right now. And they're going crazy. They're like,
well, the goalies go chants are just
but you know what it is
crazy out in Western Canada.
From the outside, and I've been there, their team will be playing well, and SportsCenter will run a story on Nazem Kadri's cat.
Okay, but that's not Leaf fans' fault or problem.
But it is. That's where people get annoyed that this is the center of the universe, and people from Toronto think that they're better than everyone else.
See, it has nothing to do with better than anyone else.
It is.
No, it doesn't. It has everything to do with ratings and clicks and how many people live here and follow that team.
Dude, I'm 7 years here now.
You understand it. It's not that difficult to figure out. I understand how it would be aggravating. Look at tomorrow. It's the biggest scheduling troll job in pro sports.
Yeah.
If you're a Canucks fan, you have to go to the rink at 4 o'clock because Toronto's in town. And that's simply because of hockey night. That's it. It's not the Leafs that made that call. It's not Leaf fans who bought tickets in Vancouver. It's hockey night paid a fortune, and they said, that team who generates the most ratings is playing in prime time.
Yeah.
And Vancouver can eat it if they got a problem with it.
No,
that's the reality.
It's just
has nothing to do with feeling you're better than anybody else. It's that the Leafs generate more buzz and more ratings and clicks and more money than anyone
else. So do the New York Yankees. So do the, you know, what is it, Chelsea? Like, there's like five or six like massive organizations,
and all those teams are hated. I get it. I understand it.
And listen, they're hated for that reason.
And the fans can be obnoxious when the Leafs are rolling now. They're third overall in the league. And they've got some swag, and they're feeling pretty good.
The thing is they had swag when they were last place in the league. That's the funny thing is.
Well, that's why there's the other reason why the hatred might come in. They could be the last place team in the league, and the game's still going to be at 7 o'clock.
That's the funny
thing.
That's
where people in Vancouver.
I guess that was my point, because when Matt Stajan came to our organization, I'm like, oh, guess what? Like, you're not going to get interviewed every day of your life here in Calgary. Like, remember, Stage was like the poster boy for your guys' team at that point.
Well, that's
he was
also,
like a fourth liner.
I don't know if he was
third
a fourth liner, but
third.
Stage is also the biggest Leaf fan on earth. So I don't care that he plays in Calgary now.
No.
He was the biggest Leaf fan on earth growing up.
My point being is that outside of the market, when I was playing in the league, it was, can't wait for Carlo Koliakovo to weigh in on his practice today. I got to watch that on TV. That's the nonsense that pissed people off.
I hear you. But
now the fan base can actually legitimately sit back and enjoy what's going on because the team is really good.
Well, that's what I've been saying, man, because, listen, you're right. Leaf fans don't control when games are played, what starts SportsCenter, what the topic of discussion is going to be on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
And Leaf fans have been punching bags for a long time because their team has been so bad. And I think Leaf fans have decided to make up on lost time. It's time that they're getting loud.
By doubling down on obnoxiousness?
They're getting obnoxious. They're getting there. Absolutely they are.
But my point was is they were obnoxious before.
Not to this extent, though. There was an element of... It was thinly veiled. Arrogance.
That's a good point.
It could be shattered quickly because someone would respond and say, you realize the team's brutal, and then you'd be like, yeah, it's a good point. They're awful. Now you add all the history.
And the team's good.
Exactly. All the attention they get, and they're a talented team, good team, fun team to watch. And
exactly. It was a great game last night. I actually enjoyed it a lot.
It was a really fun game.
I felt bad for, like, just as an athlete, that... I couldn't wait to see overtime. I actually was so pumped for it, and then that happened. It just, you know, Chris Russell didn't sleep well last night.
You can tell by his look on the bench. I would have to decide if I was the coach. Like, do I just tell him not even to come the next day?
No,
but he's a stand-up guy.
Did you see him? Like, all the reporters said he was sitting in a stall waiting for him after the game. Like, he's a stand-up guy. I know him a little bit. I can't claim to be buddies with him, but that would eat him up on a lot of different levels, but he's not a guy who'd run from it. Doesn't run from, like Hayes, you pointed out, he is a polarizing guy at the analytics community, but, like, he's not bothered by it. Like,
well, why should he be? He's made a lot of money. He's been in the league.
And he's a good player. That's the thing. Like, the analytics guys think they're smarter than everyone when it comes to breaking down players. That's not the truth. Is we saw John Chyka's comments the other day. Like, saying the analytics are a part of evaluation, just as the eye test and everything else. Character, John Chyka's comment said character factors into that. So I believe in analytics, but I also believe in trusting my instincts and my experience as well. So I think they can mix on both sides.
Of course. I think that has always been the reasonable take, is that there's a middle ground. But there are extremists on both ends.
Yes.
Because as ridiculous as it is to say, well, that guy's got this good Corsi number, so that means he is really good and should be playing this
right.
way. It's equally as ridiculous to say, well, that guy's great in the room, so give him a long-term contract.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're both ridiculous takes. Matthews, he scored last night, starting a new streak of shots on goal, and that's ultimately what's really important.
And he felt like garbage, too.
I didn't think he had a big put. Outside of his first period, I thought it kind of quieted down for him, but
I thought he played well defensively for the most part, although he was on for that McDavid tap-in, and he kind of lost his man there. But you're right. He wasn't explosive. But I don't think this
was
injury
his best
related.
Game coming back from injury.
Well, his first period, I thought he was dominant.
I thought he played well.
But
I'm not saying
quieter.
I don't think he played well, but
I just thought he got quieter as the game went on, but yeah. I thought Edmonton had a pretty good push.
Well, this might explain it. He met up with Mark Masters in between the first and second, and this is what went down.
You missed the morning skate. How are you feeling?
I've had better days.
Okay, thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
I thought
it was like the Sylvester Stallone over-the-top moment where he's just like, I've had better days.
That's hilarious, though.
It was like, Mark, get me out of this interview right now. I feel like garbage,
but was
and
that
I do
the,
not want to talk
was
to
Was that
you.
The only question?
No, he had asked him about the goal. And
okay,
that was the final question. It was like, how are you feeling? I've had better days.
I've had better days.
Okay, thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
I thought he was trolling Masters. That was my initial reaction.
Yeah.
Was like the boys are behind the camera laughing because he said, wait till this guy asks me how I'm feeling and what I'm going to say. Like, that was my initial, like, cynical view. He's like, I'm going to goof on this whole situation.
I just thought, I missed it. So coming back, I just thought that he literally just walked away. Like, and Masters was like, okay, interview over. I didn't realize he did a full walk-off.
Oh, yeah. Which I guess,
good for him.
I'll give him credit. He's not feeling that well, and he's sitting there in between periods instead of getting treatment or whatever. He's talking with Mark, and
yeah, good for him.
I wasn't expecting that answer. It was a quality answer.
I've had better days.
Okay, thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
It's like, see you later.
Take a lap.
Yeah, please don't ever talk to me again.
I like how quick Mark got back in there. Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
I've had better days.
Okay, thanks, Austin.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Masters crushing it on the road. Crushing it. Well, Nylander spoke with him in between the second and third.
Willie
I can't
and
recall
I.
the last time two of the big three kids
should.
Did two different interviews within the same game.
We got Tyler Bozak and JVR to death last year. Because none of those young guys were allowed to talk.
But now they are, and it's good. I think it's good that you get a little bit more exposure. They're not going to say anything anyway.
Oh, you get the story of the game. You score a goal, you're the best player in the period.
Maybe
you should. You're the guy.
Yeah, and you're not going to get much, but once in a while, I would love to see a Drew Doughty. Like, what if Matthews just walked off and said, you know what, that was our best period of the year. That team over there is out to lunch. Like that first period, because it was. The Leafs looked really good, and Edmonton was standing around. And if Matthews just said, like, that sheer honesty, like a Doughty comment, he never would.
That's the thing. He's so careful, and he's so calculated.
He knows the market.
I think just based on our conversation, I've got the perfect top five list that we're going to do today, because we haven't done it in a few weeks.
Top five, oh my goodness.
Top five people that hate the Leafs. And there are many options. It can be teams, it can be fan bases, it can be players, it can be coaches, it can be GMs, it can be media types.
That's a big list.
Oh, you got to break it down to five.
You can choose from anywhere.
That's right. We got to get it down to five. Okay, so we'll do that around 6:05.
Top five things or people that hate the Leafs?
Right. We'll do that in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll make sure you're in here for that, Noodles.
Yeah, make sure I won't be on that list.
No, I'm saying that I thought you were doing a sports center.
No, I am. I'm doing SC hit around 6.
I'm not putting you on my top 5.
I'm not on that list.
I got you in the top 10, but not in the top 5.
No.
We got Ray coming up. He was in the building for both games this week. I felt like there were more Leaf fans in Edmonton last night than Calgary. I don't know why. There's no science behind that.
Go Leafs go was just cooking.
It felt like a European soccer match. Like, they were both going back and forth. Let's go Oilers, and then go Leafs go. It was a wild atmosphere. It felt really cool to watch.
It looked good. I had some buddies there said it was really lively in the building.
So, Ray's coming up. Marcellus Wiley on the Cowboys winning last night. ultimately irrelevant. I don't think either team's making a playoff push. The Washington Redskins certainly aren't. Dreg's coming up. We'll get back into Tiger. And starting Monday, we're going to have a daily bit for the next 3 weeks at 4:30 daily.
Nice.
We're going to introduce that, explain it a little bit, play the intro for you. We'll do that next.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't believe we didn't mention Tiger Woods in that first segment. What happened to you, man? I thought you'd be all over that.
I tweeted out earlier. I'm just sucked right back in. It's like I want to watch every shot. But he still does things where you're like, you could choke this out. And I mean, Hoffman went nuts today. A couple guys. Spieth went low. Tiger was low. He was leading for the longest time, but he just... some stupid things coming down the stretch. Bad drives, three putts, stupid chips on the green. Just bad stuff where it's like, makes you think, are you really back? Or is this just one of those things where Saturday you're going to fall way behind and then Sunday you're going to tie for 15th out of 18 guys?
He's back, I'm telling you, baby.
You're calling it?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday when you were doing a SportsCenter hit. I would rank, in terms of 1 through 3... the kind of buzz that would come out of this tournament, the kind of overreaction that would come out of this tournament, these three options. 1A would be he wins the tournament. People would go nuts. Vegas would adjust the odds to him being the favorite at the Masters. He'd be catching Nicklaus within the next year and a half.
You think if he wins this weekend, he goes to the favorite of the Masters?
I'm saying I think the overreaction would be absurd.
Yes.
People would go nuts if he won. I think 1B, and it's close, would be if he pulled out because of an injury. Like if his back went wonky or the glutes weren't shooting and he said, I'm out of here, people would be like, here we go, I knew it. And a distant third would be him just choking it away the rest of the tournament and finishing like 10 over par. No one even would care as long as he's healthy and playing. Would you agree with that 1 through 3?
Oh, yeah. And the last one, they'll be like, he's taken the right steps to be a favorite at the Masters.
Oh, they totally compensate for a horrible weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But they want that. Every organization attached to golf wants Tiger Woods healthy and playing, regardless of what he's done off the course, the injuries. Yeah, he lost a little bit of money as far as sponsorship, correct?
Sponsorship. I think the divorce probably cost him.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking his image. His image,
his brand,
his brand.
His brand equity.
Exactly. But he's good for golf.
The thing about this tournament that you also have to take into consideration is this is probably the biggest hangover tournament on tour. And Tiger's the only guy in bed at like 9:30. Like, he's taking this so seriously. Everyone else down there is in the Bahamas.
But they probably haven't touched their clubs in weeks.
Exactly.
This is just like a fun...
The course doesn't look that difficult. They're just out there kind of playing it, having fun. Mm-hmm. Charlie Hoffman shoots 9 under today. He's so hungover. He's like, oh, this is cool. Meanwhile, Tiger is in like mid-season grinded
up. He's fist bumping on the third hole for...
the first day.
But he needs to be.
I know that.
He needs to be dialed in. If he was mid-season form and had no issues, he'd be mailing it in and be 6 under.
True. Back in the day, absolutely. All right. We're going to get to the announcement in terms of what we're going to be doing for the next 3 weeks, beginning on Monday. We've got an intro we want to play. We're excited about this. We're trying something new.
For sure.
We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, quickly before we get to the big announcement, thank you to a bunch of people that are tweeting in and texting in and emailing in and pointing out that the odds for Tiger Woods to win the Masters out of Vegas prior to him teeing off for the first time in a long time on Thursday, it was 50-1. After the round yesterday, one round, it dropped all the way to 15-1. 15-1.
Is it the same situation as you were getting or we were getting abused saying, how could the odds of the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup, is that what they do? They tap into the Tiger fans saying, I'm dropping money on him winning the Masters.
People just want to, it's a long shot, so you put
you
10
know the
bucks
Joe
or 100
from the Bridges,
bucks.
After he saw those odds, man, they're like, ah, I'm in on that.
That's exactly what I think happened. I'll bet you even sharp money, like handicappers, people that do this for a living, would have looked at it and said, I can get this guy 50-1. I just want to see if he how he looks playing. You know, how does he look? Is he comfortable? And they probably hammered it at 50-1. And you'd get a lot of Joe Blows who were like, oh, I'll put $10 on it, $20. Tiger's back. Awesome. And Vegas probably panicked and were like, we have to alter the odds. This doesn't mean they actually think he's 15-1 to win. I don't even, it's like 50-1 he's going to make it to Augusta, let alone 15-1 to win.
That should be the odds, dude, that he's going to make it there.
As great as he is, I mean, I don't even know what his status is on tour for what he's been doing for the last 2 years. I know he gets in there automatically because he's won.
Oh, he's got exemption for life at Augusta National.
Oh, you know what? He's probably got exemption for life because he's got so many tour. I think Davis Lee, you get lifetime exemption. You just go wherever you want.
Oh, yeah. If you ever win one of the majors, you're in forever as far
as. But it's amazing in golf. Like, guys like David Duval was number one in the world, and years later, he was like, this guy couldn't get in events.
That's why he's on the Golf Channel. Or he was.
Yes.
That's where Tommy Fleetwood will be going at some point.
Had an old Tommy boy hit.
It wasn't bad. He had a couple little hiccups, but.
He was all right. All right, so it's December today.
Yes.
It was a big day at our household. The Elf on the Shelf made its triumphant return.
Same thing. Return. We had to haul out the tree.
Tree came out at the McLennan household.
Yeah.
Look at
old
you.
Peg Bundy got up off the couch. And
good for Peg.
Helped out a little bit. I'm not a big tree guy, but we got this big tree that it comes in three pieces, and then you just plug it in. It's actually pretty...
Oh, it's money. I got the same kind of
thing.
It's
out of a box. You just throw it in. A 9-footer.
Oh, yeah. Drag it upstairs.
Yeah.
Plug it in. You're good.
And, of course, it was a PD day because the teachers need a day off. So our kid was at home.
I was talking to Steph today, and she mentioned that. And I said, I remember as a kid, I think I had one or two PA days a year.
Dylan had one last week, too. I don't know what's going on.
Like, what happened here where kids have days off every 2 or 3 weeks, or more importantly, the teachers have a day off every 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm not sure about that. A lot of times teachers have to go in.
Oh, they still have to work on days
sometimes,
like
half day sometimes, or they gotta do whatever.
Well, I don't care, they can do whatever they want. It doesn't
I just remember
bother
thinking
me
Thanksgiving
other,
back when we were kids was like the dream because you got the Friday and the Monday.
That was so money.
And the next week was a short week, the earlier week was a short week,
but anyway,
they don't mind tossing out those days, though.
I wish I had that. That's what I'm saying. I'm envious. I wish when I was a kid I had more of those.
They
I don't
have
remember
a lot
having
of mail-it-in Fridays. They do.
Maybe we're pissed off because every holiday we come in here and we're the only five people in here.
That's true.
That's valid, too.
Yeah, it's like, oh, where's everyone? Oh, they're off. Oh, but we're not. Interesting.
You know why? Because the other people put in for the days off. We didn't.
Kind of like the American Airlines pilots. Did you see this big scandal in the States?
No, see that? All of them put in for the same time off. They got no pilots.
There was a big computer glitch that allowed every single pilot that requested the week off to get the week
off. For
Christmas? Yeah. So there's no pilots left. They're like freaking out.
I am not getting on an...
Well, no kidding. You can't be up in the air with it.
Well, they're not going to have like an open house. Hey, do you think you can fly this 737 from Chicago to Vancouver?
Amateur night.
Go ahead.
Amateur night.
Amateur night.
Yeah.
All right. So we're already late. It's 4:40. We're going to intend on doing this every day at 4:30.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to Mullen, to Al, Tyler Hunt, Kayla Gray.
Yes,
Kayla. A lot of people put in great work on this.
Mullen, as usual, does
Mullen always
work.
Does an incredible job.
Al's done a good job this week, I will
Tyler
say that.
Tyler didn't do anything.
Hunt,
well, Tyler's
Hunt contributed.
Laying on a beach. Why would he? He's hammered on
he's
a beach.
He's high in Jamaica.
You're allowed to be high in Jamaica.
Well, he's illegal. He didn't do anything with this.
He should be.
All right, so this is what you're going to hear every day around 4:30, and we're going to come back and explain it a little bit. But
okay.
This is the first annual. We've never done it. We're winging it. We're going to see how it goes. Could get ugly. Could be great. Maybe somewhere in between.
Okay, people. Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
I'm on my f***ing lunch break, okay?
Merry Christmas!
When Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of a**s this side of the nut house.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
The time has come for all grit grinders alike to tune into the boys as they spit fire through the mic. That means Noodles and O-Dog and Hayes are your hosts for Overdrive's first annual advent calendar that's grittier than most. We'll have hot takes and lists and friends of the show, So strap on a holiday feed bag and let that boiler grow.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
All right, so that's what you're going to hear every day. And then we're basically going to open up the Overdrive Advent calendar. And who knows what's going to be revealed every day.
I love that. The Chevy Chase at the end, that's Christmas Vacation,
mm-hmm.
when the neighbor's chirping him. That is one of the greatest lines ever. Although we couldn't put in when Cousin Ed is visiting, and
there was one Cousin Ed comment.
He's draining the, you know what?
It was in there, but it was heavily censored.
It's full. Put it that way.
Right. And speaking of which, we've got a commercial that will be revealed next week that you're gonna like.
Should we do a practice run of the liner we got?
Do we have time? No.
Are we allowed to do it? Who cares?
Like, we have time. I mean, I think this is a go. Like, as of next week, it's going to be a full-fledged thing on the station. And
I mean, we got to perfect it, but you want to give this a go? But,
all right, so
explain to the listeners what's going on.
So what happens every once in a while is we have different endorsement deals, or we have different
sponsors
that sponsor the show or the station or what have you, and every once in a while, they come to one of us or two of us or all three of us and ask if we can be a part of the commercial, the read, essentially. So we get a script, and
we do it off air.
We do it off air. We give it a bit of a dry run, and then we do it with the mics hot, but not during the radio show. And Mullen chops it up and makes sure it sounds professional. And then Bob's your uncle. Next thing you know, it's being played during Landsberg in the morning, or Leafs lunch, or whatever. Scotty Mac.
You want to give this a go and let the fans know what's coming up on Monday?
Should we, like, we're putting our acting skills on the line here a little bit. It's only reading, but we are known for one of the worst commercials in TV history.
I still
with
believe
the source.
That's a classic. But the thing is you have to spell out the word that we're saying because people are going to misinterpret the word.
All right, let's hit it. I'll give you a 3-2-1, Noodles. You ready to start this party off?
Yeah, ready to rock.
3-2-1.
Whoa, what's that?
Ship my pants.
Sorry?
No, shipmypants.com.
Really? How does that work?
It's simple. It's a pant subscription service. You choose your price, your size, and how often you need a new pair of pants.
That's it?
Yep, that's it. No wasting time and energy for shopping for pants. They'll send you a new pair every month.
I'm going to ship my pants, too.
Stop wasting your time shopping for pants. Go to shipmypants.com. Get 30% off your first pair using promo code OVERDRIVE.
Everybody loves to ship their pants.
Listen to OVERDRIVE every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday, which of course happens to be today. Call in with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on Carolina December 19th at the ACC. It's a 2 p.m. game. Also, for the 4 weeks leading up to the holidays, our winner will also take home one full case of 2017-18 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple collectible hockey cards. That's 20 full boxes, including a bonus pack of Team Triples in every box. The theme this week is Leafs who played against the O-Dog and the Hurricanes in the 0-2 Eastern Final. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Jyrki Lume. Jyrki Lume.
I didn't mind going into the old corner with old Jyrki back in the day. He was really, really good. As he got older, his interest level kind of dipped a little bit.
He was a good player, but he wasn't going to put you through the boards or anything.
That's when I was like, okay, that's a green light to go in there because there's not going to be too much damage.
He was a friendly player.
Yes.
Smile on his face. And
Scott Stevens, you catch a rut and you stumble and do whatever.
Exactly.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. So you've got all five players. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. First one in with all five players named. You're going to see Leafs Carolina at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Is that our game?
No, guy. That would have been outstanding.
Yeah, you know why?
Yeah, I'm well aware.
For me, anyway.
I'm very well aware.
Would have been upstanding. Yeah, exactly. For you, you'd be gone.
Mail in?
Well, I'm looking
just enough time
already.
Not to get in here for four.
That'd be great, man. We can watch a basically a post game show that afternoon.
It's already a mail-in.
Why don't we go
Friday?
Down there, set up shop somewhere? Maybe
what day
real
is that?
Sports. Never know.
It's a Tuesday, I believe. Tuesday, December 19th. We'll see.
We'll figure something out.
All right.
I got to work back here.
Okay.
A doubleheader, so
not happening.
Don't act up.
All right, Ray's coming up. He was in the building last night to watch Chris Russell. Just heartbreaking to see a guy score in his own net with a minute left.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'll get his explanation on what he saw and what the mood was like in the building.
And we have
I'll
to play
I'll tell
you
him. One thing. Next toilet bowl, none of us are putting him in there.
No, no.
He's but a good guy.
You got to put...
You're going to put him in there, aren't you? You can't wait.
I'm not going to do that.
I want to play the three oh my goodnesses.
Yeah, we will.
For Ray.
For Ray.
I think there's four, isn't there?
No, there's only three. There's Shapovalov, there's Modano, and there's Russell.
No, there's Sam Rosen.
Yeah, but that's Modano.
That's Modano.
There's
yeah.
three. Oh. We'll play them all together. We'll set it up with Ray. Marcellus Wiley coming up. Tiger performed well again today. The World Cup draw. You see Putin up on stage? We'll tell you more about that. Everyone believes it was rigged. Russia has the easiest group. They're not a very good team.
Did he wear his Brady ring?
I think I did see him with the Super Bowl ring. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring.
Just magically went missing.
Yeah. Here, do you want to see my ring? What ring? Just disappears.
Later, pal.
Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.